You are listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution with Dr. Stephen Davis, the one and only podcast that discusses modern plastic surgery and leaves you looking great and feeling better.
Hi, everyone. We're doing our Plastic Surgery Revolution podcast, and I am so fortunate to have Dr. Steve Young with us. He is a repeat guest on our podcast, and for so many of you that probably know the work that he's doing and he has been doing for so long, Steve, I'm going to have you actually explain how you've positioned yourself as a physical therapist, a personal trainer, a person that's gotten so involved in the human capability of getting healthier. And I can't see a more unbelievable time to talk about this than right now. And I'll get into a little bit about my spin on this, but tell everybody a little bit about what you've done and all the things that you are doing, because it's fascinating.
Yeah, sure. You know, it's been like a 30-year journey. We'll start with that. And like most people who get into whatever they're really passionate about, it actually starts with a personal reason, right? I was very unhealthy as a child and wanted to get healthy. And so at age 14, I essentially started to read stuff on how to program the subconscious. What are the healthy habits and things that we can do? And so fast forward 30 years later, from an academic perspective, you know, have received degrees in biomechanics, physical therapy. I used to teach physiology, which is chemically how the body works for Rutgers med program. And so looking at the human body basically through multiple perspectives, right? Not just mechanical, but chemical. And then also mindset. That was actually the first study. And then eventually, like anything, once you study enough, you start to go to other ways of looking at it. So I've looked at it now from an energetic perspective, sort of spiritual in a way. I've also looked at it from what's the environment. And so from doing this, we're essentially now transitioning. I have a few businesses. The main business now is how do we gift to humanity this truly holistic way of seeing where are the root causes, right? The things that are actually blocking the human from fully healing and fully being healthy. How do we find those things and remove them? Right. And so now basically that's the mission. We're working on platforms and equipment and environmental changes to gift that to humanity.
And whenever we get talking about things, I get so inspired and like charged up. And I guess that's part of your ambiance, or your, I always call you like a shamanistic kind of approach to things. But one of the things that I know is from a plastic surgery perspective, we really want to be looking at this whole post COVID-19 or this coronavirus pandemic in a way that's saying more about what can we learn from what's happened and how to almost take that and help transition us into a way that we're a healthier specimen moving forward. Because after reading so much and being involved in so many webinars, much like you, but you've actually traveled. I'll go into that a little bit too. But I mean, I'm involved in an international plastic surgery meeting every week. Okay. And I'm talking to plastic surgeons from all over the world, Greece, Italy, and people like, and they may be getting it or just finished, you know, their surge, and just trying to understand what they're doing to try to get people back to work, get people feeling better. But one thing that you and I, when we were speaking about this last week, I really think that we both kind of struck a chord in the sense that if we could use this time to really evaluate our own health, I think it'll prepare us for the potential that if something else like this came along one day, or even if this coronavirus stays with us for a while, how can we prepare ourselves so that we're a healthier specimen so that we could fight it off, without saying that we wouldn't get it, but like you were talking about, if we could prepare our own body and our immune system in such a way that if we did get it, it wouldn't be as disastrous as it has been for so many all over the world.
Sure.
That's really where I wanted to start with you.
Yeah, we can start with that. And typically when I'm on stage or speaking on any kind of interviews and I get asked a question, I usually like to set the foundation of frame, the foundation of understanding before we answer it, right? Because sometimes the listeners may not have the same foundational frame. And if we answer the question without the unified understanding of the foundational frame, then the answer may be interpreted in different ways. And so, from my perspective right now, the situation with this coronavirus, no matter where it came from, right, or what it is, we do know the facts are it is contagious, right, highly contagious. And we know that the stats show in America, 94% of the people who passed away from it had a comorbidity, right? In other words, they were already labeled with some kind of health issue.
Right.
And in Italy, it was 99%. And so just from that data point, we can basically extrapolate from that when the quarantine lifts, right, when social distancing is starting to be removed, and as we start to interact with other people, it's not as if magically now the virus is eradicated and somehow it's gone. Right? It's still there. Yeah. The entire frame of a recommendation of social distancing was to not overburden the medical system, right? So not overflood the system. And once the things lift, what's going to happen is, you know, we're starting to hear about this in mass media, which is like herd immunity, right? And so it is still in question whether that can happen or not, right? And so, but what we do know is if 94% of people who die from it have a comorbidity, if you do the math, that what that means is if you don't have a comorbidity, you're 1,560% less likely to die from coronavirus, right? So that's just the numbers right now. And if that's the frame of understanding, knowing that with all this change, and the other thing that's happening beyond all that is many humans' lives where they go through their routine, that routine right now is disrupted, right? And so that's the frame of understanding. And so we get to look at, well, how do we best make choices, and how do we best think and make sense of this situation in a way that is the most serving of us, and ideally the most serving for humanity as well. So that's the frame, right?
Right.
And so once we understand that, because I always feel like every time people discuss things, it's like a puzzle. We want to look at the puzzle box and see what it is and clearly stare at it. And then we want to flip over all the puzzle pieces before you start to put together the puzzle. If any of those steps are skipped and people already start to put the puzzle together, they may have no idea what they're doing.
Right.
So I'm just revealing the puzzle pieces and staring at the box first. And so for the listeners and people who want to know what's the best thing, well, ultimately, a simple tactical thing from an individual basis is understand that now is the best time in human history to get rid of your comorbidities, right? To get rid of your high blood pressure, your diabetes, your obesity, your, you know, heart disease, your everything. And what's interesting about this is I actually posted something about this yesterday. And what's fascinating and yet sad is that when I posted something about this, some people replied with, I can't get rid of my chronic illness. They're called chronic because you can't get rid of them.
It's an interesting way for people to think of that.
Yeah, right. And so the masses... And in other words, so other people chimed in, I have asthma, I've tried everything. Right? And usually when I hear I've tried everything, I would jokingly say, have you tried snorting dog poop? No. So you haven't tried everything. Right. And so, but we want to understand again, the piece of that is the human psychology wants to believe they've done everything possible. the drawback to that belief is it shuts off creativity, right? Because your brain must be like, I've tried everything. Right. And so that's something we'll probably want to address on this call, because it is a very, based on that Facebook post, a very common belief that people are like, I've tried everything. And I'll reword what they really mean. They mean, I've gone to all the traditional doctors, they've run all the typical tests, and they tell me there's nothing that can be done except for me to take the inhaler for asthma, for me to take this drug for this condition. Keep in mind that there's infinitely more possible beyond traditional medicine, right? Traditional medicine, in my mind, is less than 5% of all the healing that's possible out there, less than 5% for any chronic illness, right? So again, I'm just flipping over more puzzle pieces for people to understand and listen to, right? And I'll give it a clear example of this that's very simple. We'll take diabetes. I just wrote something about this because a study came out that said, if you have diabetes or pre-diabetes, you're 400% more likely to die from coronavirus. So in other words, if you simply just got rid of your pre-diabetes or diabetes, you can basically decrease your risk of death by 400%, which is a lot, right?
A lot.
Right. Exactly. And so, yeah. And so if you talk to a traditional doctor, they say diabetes is not curable. That's a typical mindset. Well, without getting into how to cure it, if we simply bypass the insulin sugar system and switch to a ketogenic diet, I'm not a big fan of keto, but this is purely as an example to change beliefs. If we simply switch to a ketogenic diet and you bypass the need for insulin, right? Because a whole different energy system, you can immediately get rid of your needs for most of your pre-diabetic drugs easily.
Pre-diabetic. That's true.
Right?
So super many simple. So many studies have gone out and talked about that. You're right.
Right. And so, and again, but people still have this mindset, no, you can't get rid of it. And obviously, you know, I did a whole video within a group that I have that looked at what's the environmental cause, what's the mindset cause, what's the mechanical cause, what's the biological cause, what's the energetic cause of diabetes. I mean, this is all known information, just completely outside of the scope of modern day medicine.
And I think the beauty of having you integrating so many of those components together to end up with an answer, or like to finish the puzzle, like you're saying, is that at the basis for what everyone that's listening right now, really, and we're talking to you out there, is really trying to take hold of your health and understanding that this may have been the best wake-up call that you possibly could have had to say, oh my God, I need to somehow get in touch with how to get myself into a healthier standpoint, from no matter if it's just exercising more. It could be smaller things. It doesn't have to be revolutionarily different, but it could be, you know, just starting to get on a better diet, getting more exercise in, and starting to learn about how you can get your own mindset in a trajectory that's saying, I'm going to be a healthier candidate for whatever comes down the pike. And that's where I think plastic surgery type things kind of starts to dovetail with a lot of the things that you always talk about, which is, and I've heard you mention it a few times, with mindset, energy. Mm-hmm. If you start to feel better about yourself, and that could be because you had, you know, a new haircut. It could be that, you know, you started to come in and, you know, try to whittle away at some of the extra fat on your body. And that's going to get you thinking better about exercising more or eating better because you've done something to try to change the way you appear when looking at a mirror or how your clothes fit. All of those things. And again, I'm going to have you speak to that because you've actually done studies and you've been involved in understanding how the mindset changes your ability to actually change your health, and that chronic illness can actually start to change because of that.
Yeah, I think it's important for plastic surgeons, personal trainers, doctors, I don't know, bakers, anyone that's providing a good or a service needs to understand that that good or service is simply a tool. And when we give the client that tool, it could be a piece of cake, it could be a workout, it could be a nose job, it could be anything. we want to carefully influence them to make sure that they use that tool for the best purpose for them. This is very important to understand. And so, for example, I'm sure in your industry, you've seen people that get surgery after surgery. They chase the carrot thinking they just need that extra millimeter of this different. And then they will fully feel accepted and loved. This is no different than people who work out excessively and go, I just need that one extra less pound of body fat or one extra pound of muscle. Then people will love me and accept me. It's no different than that cake. If I just feel comfortable enough, and then I don't need that cake anymore to feel good, right? So we want to make sure that we recognize that all the producers of this world, they're not really producing solutions. They're producing a tool. The assumption is that that tool gives the solution. Many times that tool could actually perpetuate the problem, right? And so this is where the greatest opportunity for all, you know, product makers and service providers can think about is, wow, how do I, as part of giving my tool, how do I package that together and make sure that tool is framed in a way that is useful for the human, right? And this is the greatest opportunity. And so I think the plastic surgeons or any service providers that actually can figure this out and do it well will basically be the provider that's preferred by humans, right? And so, and that's something, if you want to, we can dig into and reveal to the listeners, like what does that mean? What does that entail?
Definitely go in that direction. Cause we get talking about this. This is really at the crux of plastic surgery at a high level. This is really what we're talking about. So go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, right. Because if you think about it, on the surface, it's very common. Someone says, oh, I want my breast to be bigger, then I'll be happy. And then the surgeon says, oh, we can definitely do this. I'm going to make the most perfect breast for you. And then you'll be happy, right? Keep in mind that on a surface level, for some people that may fit their story well, and that's all they need. But for some people that might be like, oh, wait, this external thing is a thing I need to feel happy. Well, once that's done, maybe I will get this done. Maybe I'll get this done, right? And so we want to make sure that when we craft the experience, it's a story, right? The breasts are just a puzzle piece of the story or a tool. I believe, I think it's integral for either a team member in a plastic surgeon's office to be a very, 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 very well-trained either psychologist or some type of mindset expert, we'll call it, that curates experience and interviews a person and says, tell me, like, where does this story come from, the way you feel like you need, you know, bigger breasts? How do you think that will help you feel? And so there is no universal just do this, but ultimately the process is understanding that person's current existing story and how do you modify that story where the tool, the breast implant, let's say, actually fits this new story where there is already an acceptance and self-love in place.
That's exactly right. And that's really why it is so important when patients are coming in for consultations. And now that we're doing them virtually, like I've been doing them this morning,
great,
to try to really understand, like you're saying, the story or the reasoning behind it, because that many times is... And I talk to patients about this all the time. Sometimes it may be the right procedure. Mm-hmm. It's just the wrong time in your life to have that procedure. Mm-hmm. And I think all of those things dovetailing together actually makes the patient really feel like the experience was unbelievable. The results were unbelievable. Because there are a lot of studies that were done with, I think the book was called Psycho-Cybernetics. Mm-hmm. And it was a very interesting a way to say that even if someone achieved a certain result in what they had done, they may not look at it as favorably as if they were in the proper mindset to receive that exact same result. And I think trying to extrapolate on that concept post this COVID-19 pandemic is that if we could see us, all of us, having the capability of being able to do something to get ourselves readied for something like this if it came down the pike again, or for just trying to get more confident in being able to go out and start going back to work. start going back into like society after being, you know, quarantined for so long. I think knowing that we're doing something in a healthier fashion for ourselves is also going to give us that armor, if you will, to be able to go out and do things.
Yeah, so, you can imagine everything we spoke about is sort of past, looking at past history of the client or patient, and then understanding how this tool fits. We can talk about future, right? We can simply influence them to think of this. Make this procedure you're about to get your keystone habit, the thing that triggers all these other habits. Exactly. To be healthy, right? And you can just, you know, a little, you know, like, are you committed? How committed are you to make this the start of the new healthy you for the rest of your life? And if they're like, it's a 6, you're going to want to have a talk until they're like a 9 or a 10. If they're a 10, you're like, let's do this, right? That one simple question and that one simple procedure step, if we apply it to all the plastic surgeons, let's say in America, imagine what that means for Americans. That means everyone that's going through the office, the procedure becomes a trigger for new habits to be healthy. And then we're talking thousands, if not millions of lives would be saved going forward just by that one action step, that one process step.
That's real. I mean, I love that. That's exactly why I think this is so perfect, talking about both things. I wanted to have you talk a little bit about medicines, mm-hmm. or I don't even want to call it a medicine, because I think you're thinking more of it as foods and other things that you could take to get your body healthier, with all the studies and all the things that you're involved in.
Sure.
Are there some things that everyone that's listening to this could take away and say, okay, if I increase my input and taking of XYZ, I'm already on the proper road to being more healthy and also, you know, boosting my immune system? What are some things that you think?
Yeah, there are some universal things. Ultimately, we want testing data to customize it for people.
Yes.
We can table that for now, but we definitely have some universal data, right? For example, we know everybody in America is toxic, right? So about a year and a half ago, they sampled a bunch of Americans' blood, and what they found was that if you're very healthy, you eat organic, and you're very on top of your health, you're going to have about 300 industrial chemicals in your body right now. If you don't really take care of your health, just like, I don't really watch what I eat, whatever, you're going to have closer to 700 industrial chemicals in your blood, right? And so we know that everyone is toxic. And this is confirmed in my other company where we test people's blood. Everyone is toxic, right? And so, and part of that toxicity, so we, you know, everyone's toxic. And part of that toxicity, everyone we've ever tested has Roundup, right? Glyphosate in their body.
Roundup?
Yeah.
The stuff that you use to kill
weed
the
killer.
Right.
Yeah. And then there was a national study last year that was done that said 93% of Americans they sampled had Roundup in their blood, right? And so what we know is 100% of humans in America are toxic, and 93% of them have Roundup. What does that mean? Well, we'll start with Roundup. That's the easier one. Roundup directly disrupts your gut function. Your gut function is one of the biggest systems that influences your immunity. This is huge, right? And then
huge.
This is no. This is like studied, confirmed, all that stuff. The toxins of 300 to 700, this is a black box because we don't know what these chemicals can do, right? The listeners may not realize that since 1976, 82,000 new chemicals have been added to our food, our furniture, our environment, everything. And less than 300 out of 82,000 have any safety testing.
Wow.
Yeah. That means, so 81,700 chemicals. Think of it as 81,700 new drugs have been poured onto and into our mouths with zero testing on, is this safe for human or not? And so we don't even know what are all the possible health effects of these chemicals. And even if each individual one was studied, what happens when you mix 300 to 700 chemicals together? They make new chemicals.
Yeah, how they make other things, right?
Right, they bond, right? So it's like a big chemical soup in our body. And so... Right. That we don't even know. What we do know is the chemicals are known disruptors of hormones. They're definitely cancerous. Those are the absolute known, and you know, they cause inflammation, which affects immunity, right? And so for all the listeners, doing some type of detoxification process, is by far one of the most beneficial practices for overall general health. And then healing your gut. We can basically say statistically 93% of the listeners can benefit from doing something to heal their gut. And you'll know your gut is off if you simply just look at your poop on the next 30-day basis or reflect back the last 30 days. If you have a very healthy gut, your poop is going to be completely solid. The color is going to be like milk chocolate. And you're typically going about the same time each day. If that has not been the case for you for the last 30 days, your gut is not healthy, basically. Like, we don't need blood tests, right? That's a very simple, and it's one of those questions I believe every doctor can ask their client, patient, but right. It's not talked about because it's poop. It's silly. Yeah. Got so, the, you know, gut health, gut. Now, as far as the protocols, this is where, I mean, there's a lot that can be done. I mean, I will say we've made our detox protocol and our gut healing protocol completely free now for all humans because we recognize the demand and the need and the benefit for this for humanity is so great. We've completely made these $200 protocols completely free for all humans.
See, and we have to definitely make sure we have links to sure. all this. Just tell us, like, if you could name, like, how patients can get in touch and to do this. But I think that's an important thing. So keep going.
Just for simplicity, in the brick and mortar business, just because I'm back in access to that immediately. So a couple of weeks ago, I just went on the back end. I just like threw the links of supplements you can take for immunity, as well as the gut protocol, the detox protocol, and even like a home workout because I realized gyms are closed. And they made all of our programs completely free. And if people just go to bodysolutionsinc.com and scroll down to the blog, and if you click on the blog, you'll see the blog post that says something like action items for coronavirus. I've centralized all the information there. So people can access these programs completely for free right now.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Personally, for you and your family,
yeah.
Do you do anything that you would think that almost everyone that's listening to this could be doing without having to like individually...
Yeah.
What would you say are some like
I can talk things about that.
That everybody's doing?
Yeah, number one, don't watch the news.
That's a good one. Because, I agree with you with that.
Right, because you know, again, this is science, right? So in the state of fear, your immune system will be suppressed by up to 50%.
Wow.
When you watch the news, when you're done, just close your eyes, be like, oh, do I feel joyous and happy or do I feel anxiety and fear? Know that fear sells, right? The news is designed to embed to you that something is going to explode in the next hour, day, minute. So you go back and watch, wait, when is it going to explode? That's essentially the news, right? The news cannot paint a picture everything's amazing because no one would watch it anymore, right? You don't have that immediate danger. We're hardwired to avoid danger, right? This is why if you look into marketing psychology, we are twice as likely to take action based on less pain versus more pleasure. Right. And it's just how our brains work. And so number one action, I would say, I would say, definitely not watching the news would be the number one most helpful. Number two is in general, know that you're either in a state of ease or in a state of dis-ease. And so check in moment to moment, which state are you in? If you're in a state of ease, your immune system's amazing, you're healing, you're fighting off pathogens and all that stuff. And then if you're in a state of dis-ease, you're basically brewing diseases in your body, right? And so if people just did that, we're talking drastic reduction in all illnesses, right? And so I would be very, very mindful because how people get sick, how people have chronic illnesses is they've never had a practice of tuning into what state am I in. They're basically being told by the parents and mass media that unless you produce something and do these things, then you are not worthy and not loved and not important, right? It shows up in our language. When you ask kids, do you ask kids, what do you want to be? Like, what do you want to do when you grow up? Or do you ask them like, who do you want to be? Right? It shows up in our language. So our entire value system is tied to what we do. And so the imbalance of only focus on external and doing and lack of being an internal that creates diseases and illnesses, right? And so that would be the second thing. Without testing anyone, we know that is universal for sure.
Wow. That's a great way to start off that whole process and thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of, you know, if people are listening, expecting a bunch of tips and tricks, like the biohacking is very in, like drink this and take that pill. None of that matters. If you're doing all of that while you're in a state of dis-ease, if you're hyper-vigilant about your health, you will still get diseases. This is why you'll hear and see people who are like, wow, John was so healthy. He had a six pack. He ran every day. He took all supplements, blah, blah, blah. And he still had a heart attack. It's because he did it through a path of dis-ease, right? And so at the fundamentals of it, you want to make sure you pay attention to, am I in a state of ease or in a state of dis-ease?
And I think, honestly, just the way you kind of put that together, to me, is so much about the reasoning behind why people, if they are choosing to do something to make themselves look better or feel better about themselves, I think understanding what you just said, if that's positioned in a way to make everyone understand that, that's one of the reasons why I got into plastic surgery to begin with, was that I did enjoy the idea of being able to make someone happy about their life and make someone happy about the way they feel about themselves and they look about themselves. And I always thought that at the end of the day, even if people were coming in for a reconstructive type of a procedure, it was making them feel better about whatever problem that they may have had. I'm adding to like a betterment. And I think moving forward, I just think that so much of the studies and the things that have been done, even over all the years with other problems. There was this, I'm sure you know about this, the lipstick study that was done way back when, after like the Great Depression or during the Great Depression, that, you know, even though people didn't have a lot of money or they may have lost their jobs, like they would still go out and buy something like lipstick to make them feel better about themselves, even if it was something small like that. And I think, psychologically, what that's kind of saying is when we finally are able to get out of this quarantine and get back to doing things, if you can do something for yourself that's actually making yourself be a better parent, a better employee, a better human, whatever that may take to make you go in that direction, I think just like you said, is putting you in that state of ease versus that state of disease, I think is really at the heart of all the things that we're really talking about.
Yeah, if you think about it, I believe one of the greatest practices for all humans is to see all obstacles simply as opportunities, right? Because if you think if everyone had this, we would have a very different world. Most people see obstacles as, oh, damn it, it's obstacles, and they stop there, which is called complaining. Some people see obstacles and go, okay, how do I fix the obstacle, which is actually different than seeing the obstacle as in fact an opportunity, right? Very subtle but powerful difference. And so imagine this one simple system plastic surgeons did as they took on clients. Sure, you have this current situation that you're in, right? A, and you want to get to B, and I'm the bridge. I will do X procedure for you to get to B, which is great. Imagine this. Imagine for them to be taken on as a patient, they write an essay that says, well, but what was the value of A in the first place? Right. And so that is profound if you think about it, because what that means is whatever happened to them, you know, to them, they can always see it as the greatest lesson and opportunity. And so that is ultimately the greatest practice, because the mindset of I need this bridge to get to B suggests that the power of story creation and the power of controlling of reality is not within me, right? So you
That's
can
imagine, exactly.
Right? And so imagine if we train people and give them practice. No, it's all within you, but I'm going to help you. It's almost like I'm not fixing you. I'm actually not even enhancing you. I'm going to take you as a whole person. You currently feel like there's a piece missing from you, but without doing anything, any procedure, let's do this practice to make you whole, and then take that whole you and experience a different version of you. That's a very different than I'm going to enhance you.
Yeah.
This is very powerful, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it sometimes takes the prodding or the push to make that happen. Yes. And that's why so many times, even from your workout regimens, because I've seen and I've actually experienced in your classes where you're taking people that really could understand that. But when they're doing it to themselves and you're putting them through a physical workout, they're starting to experience it more innately. And that's, I think, the same thing. When someone comes in for, it could be something as non-invasive as some body contouring things with Cool Sculpting. But having them take that and almost piece it together, like, I'm doing this to get rid of this extra fat that I have here. And when I'm doing that, I'm plugging that into this system inside of me that's saying I'm using that as a bridge or a tool, in a sense, to get to this other way I want to start feeling about myself. Mm-hmm. And I do think that's why all of these things that we're doing from a plastic surgery perspective or from a workout regimen or even starting to eat organically or healthier doesn't necessarily mean that, like you said, you're all of a sudden going to be this tremendously healthy person. But I think it starts to change the mindset to get into more of an ease versus, again, like you were saying, a dis-ease. And any little steps that you can start taking start to build on each other. And before you know it, it is a much bigger, like, snowball effect that's happening all day long and throughout the course of hopefully your lifetime.
Yeah, yeah. I really think that is essentially the path. And going forward, you know, if you think about it, since, you know, coronavirus, I guarantee you have connected with your peers much more so now than ever before, right? It's right. One of the things, what's interesting is the duality, everything has opposite action, reaction. The more they've quarantined people, the more the people are actually using stuff like this, this platform right here, video, to connect with other people more so than ever. A lot of my entrepreneur friends are like, I am actually connecting with more people just virtually than before the coronavirus and COVID-19, right? Everything has opposite reactions. And so if you think about it going forward, imagine people don't just see like a plastic surgeon. The plastic surgeon is part of an entire network, right? Within their local area, they're also part of the mindset expert, the fitness trainer, the nutritionalist, and they're just one piece. And what they do is they kind of join forces, like an alliance, where everyone that comes into this alliance experiences the entire experience.
That's right. And I know you've been trying to put that together for a while, and I'm really way behind that too, because I do think at the hub of that, having all these other specialists feed into what they know how to do to make that person just feel better about themselves. All those people have a place in that whole diagnosis, like you're saying.
Yeah, it is. And so just to give you a little preview. So the app that we've been building is basically going to do this, right? So when people download this app, it gets them to take the healthy behaviors. And it's through playing this game, and we have the number one game designer. The other way to say it is the number one person in the world who understands how to change people's behaviors, right? And he's like undisputed number one, not self-proclaimed. There's each year there's like a competition where they do like a gamification competition. He's won so many years, like you can't compete anymore. You get to be a judge. That's how good he is. And so we're working with him to develop this app, and the app will get people to take the behavioral change. And then we send them to the providers. For example, if they want to see plastic surgery, mindset expert, health professional, it will send them to that person in the area in the future, right? And so we're basically putting together the platform that does this for the practitioners. Because how I feel like...
How long you think out is it?
3 months. We're 3 months away from the first version. Wow. And then 6 months away from the, we'll call it mass version. And then maybe a year and 6 months away from it being AI driven.
So, wow. There's so much information that you've got going on. Is if people want to like look into more of that stuff, should they go to Amortal?
Yeah, so that's the best. That's the company that we're doing everything under right now. So yeah, it's AMMORTAL. There's actually very little information on it now because we're actually keeping a lot of this hidden and behind the scenes for a reason. Because what we're about to do disrupts a lot of revenues from other industries, I'll just say.
I got you.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just throw out this number, right? So, you know, our intention essentially is to empower people to be so healthy that there is no chronic illness. In my reality, chronic illness is an option thing that actually is very, very real to resolve. And so in US, 92% of our healthcare spending is managing chronic illness, right? And so if listeners don't know this, it's $2.9 trillion a year every year that we're spending. So people talk about, oh my God, we just spent $2 trillion with the bailout money. Well, every year we spend almost $3 trillion on managing chronic illness. That is, it's a number that keeps growing. And so the numbers show that in 14 years, unless someone, some company, something changes, approximately 14 years, it will bankrupt America. It's right now already 32% of our GDP, right? So every dollar that US spends, 32 cents goes to healthcare. And at the rate of increase, it will bankrupt America. So all the people in America who have dollars, those dollars will mean nothing in 14 years.
You know, you've talked to me about this whole thing since you've been putting together this Amortal for a while. And I'm, you know, and at the rate limiting step in my mind has always been that it's difficult to get people off their set pattern to try to understand what you're actually saying.
Yeah.
This coronavirus for sure
it's a catalyst. Has
gotten people thinking, mm-hmm. oh my God, if I've got a comorbid problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I do think that this could have been the stimulus to actually get people to start thinking more about what can I do to become more of a healthy specimen, mm-hmm. as opposed to just treating my chronic illness.
Yeah.
How can I do something to actually make myself a healthier person?
Yeah.
And that's at the heart of this.
It is. It becomes the greatest wake-up call, right? Because here's the language I hear all the time. I have high blood pressure, but it's fine because I take my blood pressure medication, right? And
right.
So in the past, I guess it is fine. They just take a pill. They go about their day. Right now, well, they're, you know, 1,560% more likely to die. And they go, oh, wait, this is not fine anymore, right? So completely switches the game, right? The game was in the past was I just take a pill and I can go about my day. Now is if I take a pill and go about my day, if I get the coronavirus, I have a 1,560% higher chance of dying. This changes everything.
And again, I'm coming at it from going through all these years of medical school, you know, surgical trainings, all these other things. So I'm in that world. So one of the interesting aspects to that is trying to understand how the average person can take a hold of that ownership of having high blood pressure instead of feeling like the doctor is going to give me a pill that'll make it better or that'll allow me to continue to be a hypertensive person.
Yeah.
But now that I have a medicine, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Now I think it's more about, okay, wait a minute. Maybe I should take some ownership of this situation and figure out how can I change it myself. And a great story is a family member of mine had, I think they were taking about 8 different pills a day for heart disease, high blood pressure. I think they had some kidney problems, everything else.
Yep.
And I'm not exactly sure what the instigating event was, but I think a family member that was very close to them passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And it got, it struck home. And they, and this is years ago, I remember this happening, and they started just changing a diet regimen where little by little, each one of those pills that he needed to take wasn't required anymore.
Yep.
And before you know it, all of a sudden, the pre-diabetic situation, the hypertension, the everything else reversed themselves.
Yep.
And again, this person, I can tell you, was like over the top crazy about going full steam into it.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show you that if you do take ownership of some of these things,
yes,
you can start getting, you know, reversing stuff.
Yeah. And so that's a very common path, right? Something drastic happens and then people get, quote unquote, their wake up call.
Yeah.
And they have this heightened motivation that they use to take the actions to change their behaviors. Now, while that's effective, we kind of don't want to rely on that way, right? Because that means someone else has to die or some drastic thing has to happen. And so what we do is the game, right? The game, just think like people who start playing like Farmville or whatever very, very engaging game out there, they don't start off saying, you know what, I'm going to spend hours on this each day. They go, oh, this is easy. I just go, boop, a little swipe here, a little swipe there. But it gets you a little bit more engaged, a little bit more engaged. Next thing you know, you're like, I'm spending 3 hours a day on this game. And so what the game designers have understood are what the exact psychological variables to get that 0.1% buy-in and another 0.1. But next you know, this is an exponential increase over time. And that's the path that we're using with this app. There's all the ways to, what's interesting about it is to reverse a lot of these chronic illnesses. It doesn't take anything high tech in terms of, there's no like high tech supplements or high tech technology you need. It's just like very basic stuff, right? It's just that people aren't doing the basic stuff.
Right.
So this becomes it's an interesting
thing. It's a compounding
thing.
So that it's a little bit of like staying on a certain track or certain path. And then if you just like compounding the money in the bank,
interesting.
It's a compounding thing that if you could do it, same little thing, but do it repetitively,
yes,
you'll start to see results. And I think this coronavirus, again, going back to that, that was such a major or is such a major instigating event that I think people, if they really do try to use it in a way to like springboard them into becoming a healthier person, hopefully we could maybe spin this into like a positive, if there is any way to spin this into a positive.
Definitely.
People will be healthier.
Yeah, but, I think people have a choice to, people don't realize they have a choice to create the story, whatever the coronavirus means for them, right? And so, and once you stop watching the news, because the news is telling you what it means, right? And so we don't want to have the news be able to control the story. We get to control the story. Right. And so if people just turn off the news and realize that, hey, how can I do a little simple exercise after they listen to this, right? Get a pen and paper and just ask yourself, like, how can I create the story about the coronavirus relative to me and humanity that is the most serving? And just see, you know, what answers come, because it's going to be
a great thing.
Very
I like
different.
That exercise. That's a terrific way to, and that's actually a great way to end the whole, a little Zoom together.
Yes.
But I think that's a great idea for people to do that after this, to really just sit down with a pencil and paper and figure out how it could be spun to make it something good for them and for humanity, like you said. But people definitely need to check out Body Solutions.
Inc.com. Yep.
Inc.com. And also one day they'll look up at that mortal when things are going with that. But Steve, thank you so much for being on this with me. I know we're always going to circle back around for other things, but you always have such an innovative and a healthy perspective of how to look at everything. And I think the takeaway message is there's so much of this that's like internal and in our own minds about how we can interpret things, and that has a direct effect on our health. And I think you're always so good at tying those two things together. I love speaking with you so much.
Great. Yeah. I love sharing this information. So this works.
I can tell. Thank you so much. And for everybody listening, you've been listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution with Dr. Steve Young. And I'll be speaking with you all again soon. Thank you, Steve. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution with Dr. Stephen Davis. Please subscribe to our show in iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. Keep listening, looking great, and feeling better.